The forest works in strange and mysterious ways. People can find themselves lost out here for weeks, feeling like but a minute has passed. You can lose people. You can find people. The only difference between illusion and reality is belief. What do you choose to believe? Do you believe your lying eyes? Or your listening ears? For in this forest, belief is everything. For everything is changed. Some permanently, some briefly. But do not make a mistake. Even the illusions have a consequence. There are many things that seem to happen freely, at the whim of the forest. Things that appear out of nothing and flit by. But everything has meaning. Everything has import. And whether illusion or no, you will feel its consequence. And Solas, you feel such consequence right now. So you do not know why or how. But as though you snap out of a bad memory, out of a bad dream. A dream where you felt cold wet thuds of arrows loosed by a shadowy individual wearing the face of someone that you know, someone that you fear. Someone whom without you will not survive. You feel that consequence as you find yourself walking in the forest alone.
You spent so long looking past Killian that there is a moment where you suddenly realize that you are no longer holding onto his shoulder. You actually don't know when last held onto his shoulder. And instead, you do feel something in your hand. It's that strange branch. You remember leaving the outpost, walking for a few hours, following this purple energy. You're still following this purple energy, but you have no idea where Killian is. As you have this realization, what do you do?
I stop. And I look around me.
Roll me a perception check, actually, whilst you still have the mask on.
22.
That strange branch that you hold in your hand is, if it's possible, it's brighter than Killian appears. It is almost like white hot. It has the same magical signature, I guess, as you and Killian do. When viewed through this mask, you hold on to it, and you know that inherently, if you ever needed it, truly needed it, more in a situation that seemed insurmountable, all you would need to do is somehow release the energy from this branch, which in layman's terms means break it in half. So you get that. And you have a moment of sort of curiously staring at it when a little ways off and slightly to the right of where you should be heading, which is clearly in the direction of the ruins, you see a bright white light. You see it flickering a little. And I think you can tell there is something wrong with it. You know, because you've seen it before, that that is Killian. Is that the direction you would like to head?
Yes.
Go ahead and make me just a straight survival check.
15.
You stumble a little and bump into the occasional tree, trying to focus on moving towards this bright light as quickly as you can. But a few seconds later, you see Solas. Solas the healer walks towards you. Solas, do you keep the mask on?
No.
As you take it off, you still see these trees with your name etched into them. And you see a clearing. And in that clearing, you see these tree stumps you know this place very well. You know who was in that grave. And you see Killian on his knees.
You know, I always thought I was strong enough to deal with this place. I'm not so sure anymore.
What do you see?
Nothing really. Visions. Threats. Nothing there. Nothing that concerns you.
I understand.
You see at this point, the little bird, this little undead finch, jumps off your shoulder, flies over to a tree, lands on a branch, and pecks at one of the etchings. The name etched onto all of these trees, and just sort of looks towards you.
Nell, come back.
The finch sits down.
I need to get some rest. I really need to get some rest.
Pecks at the name.
No. No. We find shelter, we sleep.
The finch flies over, lands on your shoulder, Solas. It looks into your eyes, and I'd ask you to roll me an insight check.
22.
You sense from this creature it is untrusting, quizzical. It wants something from you, but sensing it will not get what it needs, it just begins to circle overhead, waiting for you to move. But you can tell that it does not want to land on your shoulder right now. It doesn't seem particularly happy with either of you. So, assuming that you don't want to rest in this place, though, if you would like to, you are more than welcome. Where would you like to head? You do have a pretty good sense of where that purple energy is. You feel like you could pick the trail up pretty quickly if you wanted to.
With the help of the mask.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. I put the mask back on, and I guide us there.
I will say that with the rolls that you've already made, and I think at this point, honestly, you get the sense that the night is coming towards an end. You've been walking for hours, and you don't know how long it was that you lost each other for. To have any sense of time in this place is extremely difficult. And without too much difficulty, you find yourself approaching the outskirts of these ruins. You can tell because small outcroppings of low walls covered in moss and vines. Killian, it makes you think of something. Something about the stonework. The type of stone, which is not one that you see often, or if actually at all. It's almost like a sandstone. It's very... You can tell in parts where it's been a bit more sheltered or covered. There's almost like a yellowy tinge to it, not the sort of grey granite-like texture that the stone typically takes on the Isle of Vale. And you do remember you have seen architecture like this before in the vision that you had by the Ash Creek. You find yourself at the ruins. You, Solas, looking through the mask, can see now a little further up, some ways off, the presence of that floating purple energy. Maybe 200, 300 meters away from you. So my question to you is, do you rest, taking it in turns to keep an eye on it to see if it moves? Or do you forge ahead and confront this creature, knowing that this is the creature? Or do you choose to simply try to sneak close to it so you can observe it? Because this is the creature that almost single-handedly killed Avis, who is far more powerful than either of you.
I let Killian decide. I feel rested enough to carry on, but I suspect he might not.
I'm disorientated, I'm tired, but I think we can see him. I think this is it. I think it's now or never. We go forward.
Would you like to go forward quietly? Or is your aim to engage this individual in conversation.
How sure are we that this is the individual that we are seeking?
This individual has the exact same, essentially magical signature that the mask itself has. I think having spent the kind of time that you have now wearing this mask, you are, pretty attuned. It's kind of like understanding the colours of the rainbow and then suddenly understanding all of the colours, in between, right? You're suddenly getting different shades, and you know inherently that that is the individual that you have been pursuing.
I think we should quietly investigate.
Great.
Can I get both of you to roll me stealth checks?
18 total.
11.
You make your way inside these ruins. You now see on the inside these strange depictions. You see etched into the wall these murals, these great tapestries, not painted, but just chiseled into the wall. Seems to be elves of some kind, and they all look to the sky where there appears to be some great orb. They seem to worship it in some way. You have no reference for this orb, you have no reference for these types of elves, even though you yourself are an elf, so this doesn't... They seem like a different lineage, perhaps. You slowly start to make your way up these stairs, until eventually you come to a room. And actually, as you get closer and closer, you see trails. A trail of blood leading up to this room, and sat hunched underneath this open window. You see, holding his side, raspy breath, this man with very, almost ashen-like skin. It's brown in hue, but there's it's as though there is lacking life. And you can see immediately, Sola, so I won't even make you roll for it, that there is one particular humor which is razor thin. He is clinging on to life right now, to the point where you doubt he could even lift a finger. It's a miracle he managed to climb these stairs. He raises his eyes, looks towards the two of you stood in the doorway.
Wait. Where are you? Oh, God. Where are you from? You're not one of mine. Are you?
Where are you from?
Somewhere far away. I didn't know. I didn't know. I should have known. Please don't kill me.
Who are you?
You see that with almost every word, Solas, that thin humor is waning, threatening to break and snap at any moment.
Can I roll an inside check? 20.
He is... desperately doesn't want to die. He does seem extremely hurt. There is no pretense. It would essentially be impossible for him to lie about the things that you can see. And he does seem earnestly remorseful about something.
Your time is short. Tell us what you can.
If you help me, I'll tell you everything.
And you see that he twitches a leg and kicks this heavy metal contraption across the ground towards you. And as you have adjusted to the darkness in this room, you can see now that he's wearing that fine black robe. Underneath it, there seem to be plates of jagged but well-made and ornate armor. Even that in itself is strange. No one in the Isle of Vale wears metal armor. And he's covered in all of these trinkets and items, the likes of which you've never seen before. All of it feels wrong and alien.
I don't say this to antagonize. But I promise, something is coming. You can't fight it. But I can. I can help. I can.
And you see his head starts to slump forward.
Can I roll a medicine check?
Mm-hmm. I'll say you can roll this with advantage because you have your your healer's kit with you. If you don't want to sort of necessarily use magic to, because that would spend that resource essentially. So, you haven't spent one already.
I think I do.
You still have 3 points. So yeah, if you want to just want to do that, you want to do that
under the circumstances.
Right. So yeah, you can roll a d6 then and plus three.
Okay, 6.
You reach your hand in, and I think with one hand you scoop some of this blood from the floor, rubbing it together. You reach your hands together, and Killian, you watch on as Solus's hands seem to almost become these like faint outlines of themselves as they reach into the body of this individual, and you, almost like you're tracing, you start to strengthen that humor, and you do now know that one of the humors of the body is in fact blood, and you start replacing that humor. Killian, you watch on as you can see life returning to this individual, though he is still incredibly weak and incredibly injured.
Thank you. I don't deserve your kindness, but I hope that I can repay it in some way. My name is Locke. Locke Crueler. And I come from the Republic. I realize all of these things probably sound ridiculous to you. You seem strange to me, too. Up until 3 seconds ago, when you appeared in that doorway, I didn't think anyone lived on this island.
When did you get here?
Me? 6 months, probably, but the Republic's had a presence on the island for years.
How did you get here?
A boat.
What do you want here?
They want the forest. Where I come from, this doesn't exist anymore. There are no trees. Almost nothing living. It's just metal and smoke and sickness.
Why are you telling us this?
That mask. When you put it on, what do you see?
We see light.
Shapes. Energy. They make us wear them when we go into the forest. So we're trained to just kill anything we see in front of us. But the other night, I was doing what I was told. I was stood, and there was this huge monster. It was impossibly big. They tell us not to intervene, but this thing was gonna kill me. So I shot it. And I could swear for a second that when I shot it, I heard a scream. But it wasn't a monster or some. It was a person. And the next thing I know, one of these monsters shoots something into my chest, and I just ran as fast as I could. I run into the forest, I see up in the trees, I swear I see a human face looking back at me. That's when I took the fucking mask off. You live here, right?
You don't remember us.
Have we met?
Have we met? It was me that did this to you.
You just appeared like energy to me.
We were defending the veil.
The veil? What's that?
You don't even know, do you? You don't know what you're doing.
No. I think that's pretty clear. All we get told is what our mission is.
Well, you attacked our home. Our people. And I had to step in. And I do not regret that decision.
I wouldn't ask you to either. I'm sorry. Truly, I am, and I know that means essentially nothing to you both.
We can tell you what we know, Locke, but first we must know. Will you join us?
Join you? Listen, I've had my misgivings. I don't like the general much anyway. But you'd be asking me to betray my own people.
You sound like you're no fan of the Republic. Otherwise, I wouldn't have asked the question.
No, I'm not. Not many of us are that live there, but we don't have much choice.
Our forest cannot be tamed. It cannot be pillaged.
You don't know what's coming.
What's coming?
Your forest cannot be tamed. Look what we did to those creatures. The creatures that live in this forest. Do you not wonder why they move like that? You've probably never seen them move like that, I'm assuming.
What have you done?
It's this thing. The general made it. That mask acts as a conduit for the, whatever this thing is, but it essentially allows us to put soldiers inside the minds of these creatures. Take control of them. We can raise an army against you without even having to put any of our lives at risk. Only mine. I was the only soldier that was there. You say we cannot tame this forest. We already have.
Why attack Graveview?
That I don't know. I don't know what her means are. I don't know why. There's got to be a reason that she was not showing us that you were people. Please, put it on. Put the mask on. You'll see. We just see you as energy. Like these things that have to be harvested.
Why are you telling us this, Locke?
Because you deserve the chance to... I mean, Christ. If you're going to get exterminated, you deserve to know who's at least doing it.
And is our fate set in stone?
That one that I shot felt strong. I don't know that there's... Is there many more like them?
There's three of us.
Look, maybe there's a chance. If you went to the camp and... I don't know that there's a lot of reasoning with the general, but... If you could remove her or reason with her, it's not unthinkable that you could talk the rest of us around. The rest of us don't want this. We came here to gather resources. That's what we think we're doing. You see the blood of these creatures in this forest? That's magic, right? Where we come from, we don't have magic. Magic doesn't exist anymore.
You sound like you're asking for our help, Locke. And I know we're asking for yours. So what do you say?
You're no murderer, Locke.
No. No, I am. And for that, I will ask. For salvation. Without you, I would have died here. They left me. They lied to me. They promised me things that... I see now that they were never going to deliver.
Then let me ask you again. Will you join us?
Are your people good people?
They are.
The best.
We are.
He's going to do an inside check. Okay, he rolls a 19.
I just can't believe that you look just like us. I just don't understand why they would send us in to kill our own. I don't understand why they would lie to us. Okay. I'll help.
Then let's go to it together. You will lead, we will follow, and you will be our key to this. Do you understand?
Yeah. I gotta say, you're taking this all very well. I didn't catch your names, by the way.
Solas.
Killian.
It's a pleasure to meet both of you. And I hope that, I hope we can come out of this alive.
Let's hope for your sake we do.
Huh. That was ominous. Anyway, it's pretty safe here, I think. Nothing's attacked me yet.
Let's hope it stays that way.
Want a rest?
We do.
Yes.
I'm gonna get some rest too, if you don't mind.
The night passes rather uneventfully. You take it in shifts to keep watch. I guess the question is, do you trust your new companion enough to let him keep watch? Or do you let him sleep whilst the two of you? As an elf, Solas, you do need slightly less sleep than these human counterparts.
I'm happy to keep watch for longer and let Log sleep. Benefit of the doubt, but still.
Time passes. You awaken in the morning. You heard creatures, sounds, whispers throughout the night. Your dreams were unsettled and unforgiving, and many questions remain. The forest, whilst deceitful, it does tell some truths. And as you awake in the morning, I think a tension sits between these three. Thank you for the assistance. I'm feeling better. Can I ask, what would you like? How would you like to proceed?
Can I ask, if you were us, Locke, what would you do?
The general, she's looking for something. She hasn't been honest about what it is. She's mentioned a few things in passing, but none of it makes sense to me. If I were you, I think I'd be half tempted to run screaming. But knowing that that's not exactly an option, I guess I would probably want to investigate and maybe see if there's any way that you could find this, whatever it is that she's after. You might have more context. I don't know anything about your people's civilization. I don't know if she's after something that you have.
I have two more questions for you. Where is the general now?
She'll be at the camp.
And why should we trust you?
I don't know that trust is a word that I would use. We're strangers, complete strangers, in the middle of a forest that's designed to turn us against each other. I think that what you can do is know that I don't want to die. I want to see my family again. They left me for dead, and I don't know that I can help. I know that I can show you the camp. I can show you where the general is. I don't know that I'm much help to you after that. Without that, the gun you're holding, you're probably stronger than me. So, it's your call.
Look, we're trying to find out why the forest has been getting more and more aggressive. Last night you sit there and you tell me it's because of this general and whatever kind of plan that she has. I don't know anything about your republic. I don't know anything about their plans. But if it's got something to do with the way this forest is operating, then we need to investigate it. We need to go and find out.
No, the only context I have is she mentioned angels at one point, but I don't believe in angels. And I don't know whether they're just using a metaphor for something or... That's the only context that I have for what we're looking for. We're told to... There's a certain, like, magical signature. But the closest I've seen was that... to what we're looking for, I mean, was that one that I was told to shoot, so...
How can she send a battalion of soldiers into a place and not know what you're looking for?
I think she knows what she's looking for.
Does she accompany the soldiers?
No. But she can see through us.
I don't like her already. Sending people in to do her dirty work.
Who does she take her orders from?
She is a member of a great house. We vaguely pretend to have a government, but it's mostly the houses that are in charge, so... I don't think she answers to many people. And if they are, they're back on the mainland. Aurelian government is strange.
Well, from the little that I know, it sounds like she's trying to harness some kind of power.
She is, certainly.
To what end?
I don't know. I think that she's trying to take some of this stuff back to the mainland. I think she has been doing that for a few years. Her house, House Tiber, has been, has grown in stature over the last few years since she started coming to this island. So if they're harvesting the blood and the trees of the monsters, using that to power some of the machines, like, that would make sense. But maybe she thinks there's a bigger prize out here, and I don't know what that is. Do you have any context for what it could be?
No.
Well, we can set off for the camp if you want. It'll take us a couple of days to get there, I think. It'll be a little while before she attacks again.
Yeah, we need answers.
I have one more question. Based on your knowledge of her, is she someone who would talk with us? Or simply want to destroy us?
Oh, she'd talk to you for sure. I don't know that you'd like the outcome. She doesn't view people as people. They're just pawns to be used. But she'll definitely talk to you. I just don't know that there's much reasoning.
Then let us try to talk to her. And if dialogue is not what she wants, then we can explore the alternative.
She's got a lot to answer for.
Not just here, by the way. House Tiber has got a lot of crimes to answer for.
Where is this camp?
I'll show you.
It says town. What sort of town?
I guess, like, that's the buildings that were down there. We assumed abandoned. That's where I was a few nights ago. Where you, hit me.
That was Graveview.
Yes, I don't know what that is.
That's where we live.
Oh.
Okay. Take us to the camp.
Okay. But when we get there, it's over to you guys. I am higher ranking than, a handful of people, but I'm not a general or a steward or anything like that, so I won't curry much favor.
On our heads be it.
Okay. Shall we? We can always walk and talk as well if you have any other questions. I'll do my best to answer, but I might have a few for you.
Assuming this does not go well, Locke, and assuming that we managed to overturn the general's objectives, why do you think you'd be able to see your family again?
Because I think the alternative is too painful to even think about, so I'm just choosing not to. I don't know that I will. But what's the alternative?
Are there others in your ranks with your beliefs?
I think there's probably quite a few, but most of them are too terrified to do anything about it. They'd need to be pretty convinced that the general could be removed in some way. And even then, we'd have to explain to House Tiber and the other houses when we arrived back without the general. We'll say this is happening as you are now kind of making your way down and out of these ruins. Did anyone want to do any further investigation of the ruins, or are you happy to just...
Yeah, I'd like to.
Sure. Is there anything in particular that you're looking for? So you got the context, there was the elves that looked a little different to you, there was the strange orb in the sky that they seem to be worshipping, and that's what you've seen thus far. So if there's anything else in particular that you're looking for, then...
And those were like tapestries, weren't they?
Yeah, they were kind of like etched into stone.
Okay. So can I investigate the orbs?
Mm-hmm.
15.
With a 15, I'll say that you, as you're making your way down, clear some vines off of a tapestry, and as you move it aside, you see that this one depiction of an orb, there's a secondary imprint inside of the orb itself, and it appears to be a humanoid figure with big wings, floating, arms outstretched in the center of this orb. And again, an array of these strange elven beings, all kind of a mixture of sort of hands up in prayer and worship, some collapsed to the ground on their hands and knees.
Could I roll a religion check on that?
Ooh, there we go. Yeah, okay.
12.
Here's my question. How much do you think Sol has paid attention in school?
I think in school, reasonably, in any sort of equivalent of church or religious forum, less so.
I'll say that it wouldn't have been taught, so there are no formal churches or religions on the island. There are sects and people that have certain beliefs, and sort of it is generally accepted that this is the dominion of the god of autumn, and that they govern here. But even then, gods are not someone, as far as people of the Isle of Vale are concerned, gods are not someone to worship. They are entities to fear. And there was, and I think probably in time, at least reference to other gods, that the Autumn God isn't necessarily the only one. Though that isn't really widely taught, and that's why I'm saying it would probably be more like a lesson in school. And it's kind of like a theology lesson of like, well, this is like an alternate theory to the, you know, machinations of the universe kind of thing. But there were reference to other gods. Other gods that had dominions over other seasons. Though the Isle of Vale, as far as you know, has never felt or experienced any other season. It has only ever been autumn. It's almost like this image sparks something where you remember them talking about the season of summer and the summer god. I realize as well that I forgot to clarify when you awoke that you would have received an image from Anya. She sent three images, one of the girls. I'll say one, you saw like an image of people collecting and gathering their things, and then another of walls being like reinforced. It would seem that she's sort of moving ahead with her plan to reinforce Graveview and evacuate all non-essential personnel from it. What image would you have sent back, if at all?
Can I propose, but perhaps if we were to show the location that we think we're at with us healthily in that image, so mm-hmm. she knows we're well, mm-hmm. to give us some sense of where we are, just in yeah. case.
I'll essentially say that you could sort of send a visual image of like the exterior of the ruin, and then like a literally like you kind of almost like mentally drawing the map. Okay, I've seen this thicket before. I think we'll just keep heading north until we hit the cliff, and then we'll make our way right towards the camp. I'll show you my plan, Root. What I was thinking. So we're about here. We run into a lot of issues here, and it's close to one of these nests that are like a high density of the creatures. I didn't really fancy getting too close, so I was going to suggest that we just head straight up, hit the cliff face. There's less forest coverage up there, and then we just make our way across. It's a little raised over there as well, so you'd get a better vantage point of the camp while you made your decision about how you wanted to proceed.
Makes sense.
All right.
I guess you're not going to give me the gun back, but if we get into trouble, I'm probably the only one that knows how to use it.
We'll bear that in mind.
And as you begin to trudge through the forest, the rain dappling on the leaves, creating a strange sort of choral chorus, you look around, and the forest during this time in the morning looks so peaceful and still. You see a deer, perhaps some rabbit, and it all just seems so normal. Are we moving swiftly to try and get there as quickly as possible, or are we moving stealthily as to try not to draw attention to ourselves?
I think stealthily.
Mm.
Okay, I will ask for stealth checks then.
17 for me.
20 total.
5 total. You walk for a little time. The two of you definitely seem more sure-footed in this environment than Locke does, who will continually trip and bump into branches. half of the day goes by pretty uneventfully until you do see some ways ahead something large turn and sort of look in this direction. It doesn't look immediately like it spots anything, but you see it's a grave elk. Grave elks are moose-sized, maybe even a little bit bigger than a moose. Undead creatures. This one has no bottom jaw and what appears like hundreds of splinter-like antlers coming off the top of its head. Pieces of flesh dripping off the side of its flank. And it looks towards you. And then you hear a distant buzz suddenly take off in the air. You see this grave elk immediately head up, look startled, and it starts to run in your direction. But the sound that accompanies it isn't just one or even two. An entire stampede of these things begins to make its way through the forest, heading in your direction. They're not technically an initiative, as they are not actively trying to aggress you, but they are running from that, the source of that noise.
I would like to roll a perception check.
And what are you looking for specifically?
The source of the...
See if you can hear where that noise came from. Go for it.
2, so 7.
Okay, that's Solas. Killian?
Well, I think the most immediate danger is that these are all stampeding towards us, and we probably need to find higher ground. And we need to get up into the trees. So I'd like to roll an acrobatics check.
Love that. Try again for the tree.
17 total.
Okay, with that, I think Solas, you immediately see Killian now find footing on a branch and launch himself into the tree. This might be a moment as well for you, Solas, to start to realize maybe the difference that you're seeing in Killian. Just how much stronger the two of you are. You're probably so used to, or you are so used to seeing normal men, elves, dwarves, etc. And the speed at which he moves up this tree feels inhuman. And you watch as Locke kind of stares and like shakes his head for a minute, like genuinely looks kind of baffled at how well you're able to do that. Oh God. And I guess Locke is going to try and get in a tree. Let's see how he does. Would anyone like to assist him, or?
How can we?
You can absolutely try and give him the help action if you wanted to. It might make you a little bit vulnerable should this go really badly, but...
I'll try.
Okay. So he'll roll 2d20. Okay, that's a 4 and a 5. Here's my question. Solas, you have a choice. Basically what happens is... these things fall upon you so quickly. And you can see some of the trees, they're actually uprooting as they're moving through. Like, they're hitting them with their horns and taking, not quite taking them with them, but, like, literally pulling them out of the ground as they get caught. And to free themselves, they just keep pulling and pulling as the trees start to fall down. And there is a cacophonous, thunderous noise. And you can see now why they look and are so damaged, because they are, every single time they're crashing into trees and you see parts of them splintering off and peeling off as it's getting caught on a tree. One of them is heading directly for Locke. You see him kind of trying to jump up and grab Killian's hand. He's extended down, but for whatever reason, his hand is just too sweaty. He can't quite make purchase. And as he's doing that, he's really distracted and not noticing there's one bearing down on him right now. So you have the choice. You can either try and get into a tree and for your own safety, or you can try and tackle him out of the way of one of these things.
I'm going to try that.
Okay. I'm going to ask you for a athletics or acrobatics.
I'll go with athletics. Oh, actually, forgive me. I'll go for acrobatics. It's a 4, so 6.
I'm going to ask you, please, Solas, to roll me a d20, and Locke is going to do the same.
18.
11. Okay. Solas, what happens in this moment is you feel that speed start to lessen, start to drop. That speed that you'd found from somewhere, that lightness that you'd found, it sort of slows as you push off to try, basically, and help this individual. So I'm going to offer you essentially a bargain. The way that this Equinox system works, it essentially allows you to tap into the magic of the forest. The forest loves change. It wants you to change, to embrace new things. And so, if you are willing to risk rolling on a table, which could result in a good thing or a bad thing, it allows you to re-roll any failed dice roll. So the same goes for you, same will go for Log. So if you want to try and re-roll that four and get something higher, then you can. I will say that currently, with the way that you've both rolled, you will both be taking a fair chunk of damage.
I would like to do that. What's the downside?
Well, that's the thing. You just don't know.
It could be less than a four.
It could be less than a four, but then you will also have to roll on the Equinox table, which is where some strange things might happen to you as you begin to embrace change and you invite the forest to change you.
So on this occasion, I'm willing to do it.
Okay.
Is that a permanent decision? Once you've opened that Pandora's box?
Who could possibly say? This is a split-second decision that Solas is doing.
All right, I'm going to do it.
Okay. Let's re-roll this dice.
It's a four.
No! Okay, I will need a d20 roll then on the Equinox table, please.
Here we go, everyone.
17. As you push off of the ground and you throw yourself towards Locke, you jump through the air, gaining some height, and you suddenly feel yourself being pulled in an opposite direction. As Killian, you watch as a prehensile tail grows from Solas's back. And as in midair, almost like a natural reflex to save Solas from being hit by one of these creatures, the prehensile tail wraps itself around a branch and pulls him up and out of the way of one of these creatures as you watch this grave elk crash into the side of Locke and carry him away. What would the two of you like to do? You are find yourself dangling from a tree. You don't really have a lot of context as to how you're dangling from a tree, but you are dangling from a tree probably inches away from the horns of these grave elk. There is a really cool thing that you could try to do, Killian, if you wanted to. I'll offer it as an above-table offer, but it's totally up to you because it's very chaotic and potentially dangerous. But if you did want to try and jump on the back of one of these things to try and save Locke, that would be fun.
I was about to say, I'm just going to go, yeah. Yeah. Let's do it.
So you're going to try and jump onto one of these creatures' back.
Yeah.
And follow where Locke has gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's make this an... I think it's going to have to be acrobatics again. Because it's more about dodging the horns than it is about kind of holding on.
Okay, so 13.
You drop down. You take 3 points of damage as one of these horns just scrapes up your side. But you are holding on to the back of this thing as you are careening in a certain direction, not yet knowing when it's going to stop. Solas, you see this. What would you like to do? You can now feel the presence of this prehensile tail that is holding onto a tree branch, and you know that you can control it if you want to.
I would like to remain in the treetops, but use the tail to track them through the trees themselves.
Sure. Oh, so you want to sort of essentially keep above them?
Stay airborne. Not. I don't want to. I won't be traveling by elk. I'll be traveling by prehensile tails through the treetops.
Absolutely. I will allow you to do this if you spend a focus point to use your Step of the Wind ability, which is essentially, ever since you've become the steward, it gives you the ability to almost find footholds that aren't necessarily there.
How many focus points do I have?
So you have 3 in total. So as long as you're willing to spend 1, I will let you.
Yeah.
And also, I will lower the DC slightly. So go ahead and roll me acrobatics.
Dirty 20.
With a dirty 20, yes, you... And any time that you go to miss or you don't quite hit, the tail grabs hold, pulls you in towards safety, wraps around a tree, helps you find balance, etc., as you are moving through. How is Solas feeling as he's gliding through these trees?
I'm feeling steady in my ability, but I'm feeling nervous in the pact that I've made with change. in the forest.
Yeah.
That's not going to go away anytime soon.
I think you can feel the tail just ever so slightly, whenever you find a moment of stillness, just ever so slightly shivering. And you get the sense that this tail belies your inner emotions. So, Killian, you're on the back of a grave elk. I would say that like three elks away, you can see Locke almost like holding onto one of these sharp antlers. One has pierced through his shoulder and he's essentially trying to keep it there, because if he was to drop right now, he would just get caught underneath the hooves of these creatures. What would you like to do?
I think I need to try and make it onto the back and dislodge him from the elks. So I'd like to hop. I think there's maybe two or three elk in between me and him.
Yes.
So I want to jump onto the back of the ones in the middle. That's going to take some seriously acrobatic skills.
It's going to take some very good rolls.
I'm feeling really hot. So.
It's going to take some very good rolls, that is for sure. Here's the trade-off that I will offer you. If you are willing to put your summon potentially like in the fray here, it will give you the help action, guiding you like when to jump, almost like acting like eyes outside of your own body, giving you that advantage. But there is a chance where if you fail in this, that it could dismiss your summon.
The difficulty is going to be knowing when to duck, because there'll be branches that I'm coming up against that I can't keep an eye on because I'm trying to focus on getting onto the next elk and when to jump. So if my summon Finch can tweet every time I need to duck, that would be great.
So you can roll this with advantage now. I will tell you the DC for this is going to be 17.
By DC, you mean?
Difficulty class. So that's the number that you need to hit. You need to meet that or beat it.
Oh, 19. Oh, that's lovely.
Okay, well, you might as well roll again and see if you get a 20.
Let's. 12.
Let's go.
19 total. Very good. You push off the head of this one elk, gliding through the air to another. You land on the back of it. You make that one jump. It was definitely much harder to hold on than you anticipated, but fortunately this one had some exposed ribs, and you managed to dig your hands into the actual ribs itself to find purchase, and you pull yourself up. You go to make the second jump, feeling extremely confident, feeling these newfound powers surging through you. You go to jump and you immediately hear this like screech from the finch, and as you actually look up, you see the elk itself careening directly towards a tree, and you manage to side hop essentially to a different one, and you see that elk collides with this huge cedar-like tree and gets all kind of wrapped up in it. You make the final jump. You see Locke kind of holding on.
Ah! Oh my god! What? Thank you so much! Oh, I don't know how I'm gonna get out of this! Fuck! Here! Take my hand! Can you pull me?
Yes.
Fuck, you count.
Three.
Yep.
Two. One.
And I'm going to need us both to make athletics checks.
I rolled a one.
A natural one.
A natural one.
See, the thing is, with a natural one, you have no choice but to roll on the Equinox table. However, Locke, our friend Locke here, is going to choose to roll again and will end up rolling on it. So I rolled a 3, then a natural 1. Well, let us both roll on the table. This is my roll, Locke's roll. Oh, okay, that's actually a good one. That's helpful. And Killian?
11.
You feel yourself get suddenly stronger. Killian fills out a little more, and you can feel, actually, that you could carry more than you used to. I will say that that is very helpful in this moment as you reach out to grab hold of Locke and try and pull him onto the back of this elk. You do, however, know that you would take more falling damage than you typically would. So if you fall off the back of this elk, it could be potentially very bad. And for Locke is going to gain a tiny bit of temporary hit points, but is going to gain a vulnerability to necrotic and poison damage. As you pull Locke up, he takes some more damage. But you do manage to get him onto the back of the elk. And the way that I'm going to respect the dice here, and I'm not going to say that you or Locke did anything bad or incorrect, but you do now see, just ahead of you, as you both manage to get onto the back of the elk, that less than 100 feet away from you, there appears to be a sheer drop that all of these elk are currently heading for. So for context, given how fast they're moving, you've probably got about two rounds. You've got two actions, essentially. Solas, you can also see this. You're kind of up behind. You can see he's managed to get Locke onto the back of the elk. Locke looks injured, but fine. Like, they're all, both okay. But now you can see ahead that there is this sheer drop that is coming up. And you are flanked on both sides by elk as well. Like, you are in the middle of this pack. So it's not just a case of being able to just sort of jump off of the side, because there is many to the side of you and behind you.
So I would like to roll an acrobatics check to try and get them up to where I am. Presumably if this tail is strong enough, it means that I could lift the two of them up into the trees. Mm-hmm. And then what happens to the elk happens to the elk.
Here's what I will allow you to do. Two options. You can either basically try and get to them and I'll let you pull one of them up. Or if you wanted to try and get ahead of the pack of elk, position yourself, like, sort of essentially like dangle yourself so that you could potentially, you know, they can see you and you can grab hold of them. It will be everyone doing one collective check, but that will be your only chance.
I'm going to literally and figuratively roll the dice and okay. Go for the second one.
Okay. Solas, bouncing off of these trees, finding footholds, moving at an unreasonable speed, darts over your head, Killian. You see then as the tail wraps around a tree branch, Killian hangs upside down, both arms extending out towards the two of you. You try to steady yourself on the back of this thing, this gigantic creature, readying to jump and try and catch hold of Solas's arms. Solas, for you, this is going to be an athletics check, because this is pure strength. And for Locke and for Killian, this is going to be acrobatics to try and time the jump perfectly and catch hold of those arms. We're looking for two out of the three to be a success, and I'll set the DC at 15. Oh, shit!
Yes!
Okay, so Locke rolled a 17 plus 2, nat 20 for Killian, and then you got a 13 plus...
I'm one shy. You said athletics, sorry. It's only plus 1, so I'm one shy.
Okay, but that's absolutely fine. That's two successes.
That's my first nat 20.
Yeah. What a time to get it. What a time. In fact, I will say that a nat 20 technically, as rules written, count as two successes. So technically, okay. That is three successes.
Okay. Jesus.
You leap off of the back of this elk. You grab hold of Killian's arms. Killian, this is like a level of strain that you've probably never experienced, as you not only grab hold of them, but you do everything you can to heave them out of the way of these antlers. As you see now, the first maybe five or 10 of these things just careen off of the side of this this huge drop that seems to lead down into a dense thicket below. A number of them sort of start to slow down and stop hitting into each other. They start squabbling and fighting, but the three of you have successfully survived the encounter. Though where you are in the forest now remains somewhat of a mystery.
Hello, Oaths and Empires. It's me, Jasper. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the show. I hope that you have enjoyed it. I'm here to thank some very, very special people, the angels over on our Patreon. These are some of the incredible people who give so generously to the show and allow us to keep doing what we're doing. It allows us to have the most amazing and incredible audio editors, producers, sound designers, and artists on the show, as well, of course, of making sure that myself, Tom, and Luke are compensated for our time. It's just truly amazing to have a community like you all behind us. It means everything, and it is literally the only reason that shows like this exist I feel very, very proud to be a part of this community and to have such wonderful people like you. So thank you so much for all of your support. And to the following people, an extra special thank you for being so generous with your time and your energy towards the show. It really wouldn't be where it is today if it wasn't for you. A huge thank you to Lobos, Sunshine Chops, Aki Yukani, Junomari Ralos, Justin, Lauren Hughes, Castle Bravo, Allison Daniel, Wellini underscore IND, IND, maybe, Sammy Williams, Haley Marshall, Mushroom Gremlin, BJ, Kibby, D, in brackets, what my name is, Fall for Fiction, Danny Bauer, Michael, Mandala, Protato, Abs, Chris B, Clavia, Imperator.exe, Dylan Henderson, Sarah Phillips, Celeste Nicole, Eric, Josh Dominic, Koo and C, Lizzie brackets, Lizzie 94 close brackets, Boolean, Ketchup Zombie, Vincent M, Tazadactyl, Avi, Striped Sentry, Vintigaten, Serena of Scallops, Camille A, Himbology, Fadburger, Carlos Cermak Hernandez, Erin Shields, Cine Crab, Lisa White, Lena Beans, Vera Patria, Vakval, Al Yoxer, Your Space Cat, Shark Spren, Fanny, Sneaky Gina, Alexis, Ian Hamlet, Hank P. I went with the Tom McKay pronunciation there. But I do know the actual pronunciation is Ha-ink P. Safz. Asterix. Samantha. Havin Hops. Glambring Gaming. Sarah. Brackets. Quest Disaster. Nell P. Brackets. Mostly 10. Close brackets. Noah Alice. Elizabeth. Erin. Egg and Ollie Love Art. Spikey. Wild Lupine. Tove L. Gillith. Ode. Odhan Coney. And of course, to the incredible mods, Mego, Nymira, and Natbat. Wonderful human beings. All of you. Absolutely wonderful. Old Man Hemlock has decreed that you are indeed wonderful human beings. Thank you so much for all of your generous support. I cannot explain what it means to me and what it means to Tom and to Luke. So thank you so much, and I hope that you are going to really enjoy this next part. Until I talk to you next time, have a great time, and remember, tread carefully in the forest, friends. All is not as it seems.